Well, good morning, everybody. Appreciate the crowd we've got. I'm thankful for the visitors. Brother Jamie and his wife coming to help us this morning. What a blessing they've been to our church. And we got several visitors here today. We appreciate y'all being with us. And we just hope to be a help to you. And we'll all come in the same mindset with our minds on the Lord. We'll all get help. And he'll be magnified. So y'all just pray this morning. We'll continue there in the 23rd Psalm. I think last week we finished up verse number 2. But just for context's sake, we'll start there with the reading in verse 1. Read down through verse number 3. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And so we saw in verse number 1, we saw David's submission to the shepherd. And the latter part of verse 1, we saw the sufficiency of our shepherd. And we've seen the supply of our shepherd in verse number 2. But as we come to verse number 3, what I want you to notice is the sovereignty of our shepherd. And what that word means is, Brother Jesse, that means just he's in control. There is only one, you notice it starts with, "He restoreth my soul." There is only one person that can restore our souls, and that is the Lord Jesus. And so we see that he's in control. I mean, I would like to be able to do something for you, but the reality is I'm powerless, Brother Donnie. But I know the one who can help. And so I'm thankful for that. So right out of the gate, what we see is we see his preservation in verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. So that word restoreth means to recover, to heal, to bring back, to return, to cure, to revive, to renew, to reestablish. I hope you get the picture. It is something that was lost that needs to be brought back to its state that it was in. That's what the word restore means. Brother Matthew can take a vehicle that's beat all to pieces and he can restore it. You all have seen his work. I'm thankful that God can do that with us. And so, but the thing is, in order to have a need of restoration, that means something must have been lost. Y'all understand that? So for David to find himself in a place that God restoreth his soul, Brother Jamie, it's clear he's lost something somewhere. Now, we're not talking about his salvation. We can't lose our salvation. But the word soul, when you look that up, and this is not a study about body, soul, spirit. We all understand we're triune beings. God created us that way. There is a separation. The book teaches us. You remember when Jesus died, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." His spirit went up. But he also said that he wouldn't leave his body and his soul in hell. So we know that it's separate. He said, "Fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell." So there's a separation between soul and spirit. Hope everybody knows that the spirit is what God deals with us in. You see, souls can still go to hell. Everybody understand that? But Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So, Brother Adam, a body, dead, like you see him, at the funeral home, they don't have a soul. The soul's gone, the spirit's departed. All that is there is the shell, the body. And I'm thankful the Lord's not done with our bodies. There's going to be a resurrection of the body one day. I'm not here to tell you all the differences. I'm just telling you study that out, there is a difference. But right here, what we come to is that David says, "Restore my soul." Now, would everybody understand that God had touched the spirit of David? The Bible says he was a man after his own heart. We know that he was a godly man, but there was a problem in his soul. Now, When you look up the word soul specifically in this location, what I find that it means is it is literally, Brother Adam, it is the very life, the very essence of the body that it houses. It is the central portion for thought, for reason, for morality. You understand that there's people that are still good people. We would classify them as good people. God don't. But there's good people that have never been born again. Why is that? Because they still have a soul. They still have some central thing inside of them that controls somewhat their morality, their thoughts, their reasons. If you take a body separate from a soul, it's just a dead corpse. But if you take a body and a soul together, what you have is a living being. And so what David is saying right here, I believe, is that it's not that his body is about dead, but I believe at this point is that at his emotions, maybe there's a point here that he got to his wit's end. He was at the very lowest he could be emotionally, mentally, in his reason. He got to a point where he needed restoration. And so what we find is when we're in our lowest points, who can bring us to the point of restoration? It is Christ. And it is Him alone. So he was at the point of death, and you can actually read, I think it might be over there in Psalm 31, that he called himself basically a dead man. We find there are times there are ups and downs in the life of every person, specifically believers. You get born again and you think you had battles in the past. Guess what happens when you get trying to live right? You get saved and you try to go on with the Lord. What happens then? You're really under attack at that point. And so there are times that even the best of the best, my pastor, Brother Jamie, you, as much as we respect you, there's times you get down, ain't there? Get down to the low. I mean, you call Brother Kevin on a Monday at times, and he's as down as he can be. Why is that? Because he's come in here, and he's literally poured his soul out. Everything he's been reasoning on, every thought that he's had, he's put into this book and into our hearts. And he has literally emptied that out when he gets done preaching. We say he shelled it out. But we're talking about he literally poured into my vessel and your vessel. And what happens when you keep pouring and you don't have any help pouring back in? You find yourself empty. And so, as blessed as I could testify today that I am, I mean, my family's saved, and we're on our way to heaven, all is well as far as I know. But man, there's times I need somebody to pour into me. And you know who ultimately does that? It is Christ and Him alone. Now, what happens is, it is His will to restore the sheep. Right? If you're down in your lowest of low, Brother Delmer, it's not His desire that you stay there. Now, your circumstances may not ever get any better. You may be sick. You may have a terminal illness. Brother Adam, they could look at you tomorrow and say, you've got 6 months to live. Now, I imagine if his faith is not just right, wouldn't you say that there could probably be an easy crash right there? His soul, it wouldn't... Your body's affected by whatever it was. But what people understand, who you are is not your body. What I know of you is your soul. I can't see your soul, you understand. But your soul is what affects all that you do. What you say, what you think, all of that. And apart from the quickening, the power of the Holy Ghost, it's messed up. And that comes when God's Spirit yokes up with our spirit, and that affects the soul. But He desires us to be restored. He does not always desire our physical bodies to be restored. There are times that it is His will for people to die. It is their time. Now, we understand ultimately at the beginning that was not His will. He created perfect beings in the garden. But because they sinned, you know, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Because of Adam's sin, death was pronounced on all men, for all have sinned. But because of that, there's an established plan. And sadly, that includes death. And Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment." So he's not always going to restore the body. There comes a time. Paul said, "The time of my departure is at hand." He knew that his days were numbered. But yet, as we said a few weeks ago, on the inside, his soul, even though his body was hurting, he desired, like Kevin preached, his cloak and his parchments, all those things. Physically, he needed some stuff. But his soul, he said, "I'm now ready to be offered." Folks, he was ready. His soul was right, even though his body was struggling. And so that, I hope that kind of explains what I'm trying to get at. When David says he restoreth my soul, that means anytime you find yourself down in your soul, when you're struggling, it's his desire to restore. That restoreth means continually. He continually works in the hearts of his sheep, in the souls. I'm glad it wasn't just a one-time deal, Brother John. There's been times in my past I thought, "Man, I'm down and I'm out for good." But yet, what did he do? He came by and he restored my soul again. I'm thankful. You know, I mean, we say all the time that I'm glad the Lord appeared unto Jonah, came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Folks, I'm glad for chance after chance. I'm glad for his forgiveness. I'm glad for his restoration. So, Christ, I hope you understand, he's the only one that gives life. And whether it be the life of your body or the life of your soul, don't matter. He is very life itself. In John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, that is Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Folks, he's the only means that we have to life. And if you want restoration of your life, it will come through him. The Bible says that he is the bread of life, he's the prince of life, he's the word of life, and he's the water of life. If that don't explain it to you, he's everything about life. And if you want life spiritually, it comes only through him. He is the. That's all there is to it. You can look in a bottle. You can look on the computer at things you shouldn't. You can go down to the bar. You can go down to the drugstore, whatever, and look for life. That does not give life. All that can do is help you forget what you really need. Folks, the only giver of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning and you're looking for life elsewhere, you're looking for restoration, there's only one place to find it, and it ain't me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, because he is life, he's the only source. And so what I find in Scripture, you have two different groups of people that come into contact with Jesus regularly. You have sinners, you have saints, right? And so what happens when the sinner comes into contact with Jesus? What does he do to them? He regenerates them. Regenerates the sinner. Titus, look at Titus with me over at chapter 3. And I apologize for my voice. Titus chapter 3. Very familiar scripture here. Chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How did He do that? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So if you're here today and you've never been regenerated, you don't have the hope that He's talking about. But if you are a sinner and you come in contact with the life, and you want that life, you will not leave disappointed. He will regenerate. And that is His desire. His desire is to regenerate the sinner. So make them brand new. Create a new creature. Right? The old man's to pass away, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things are to become new. So He regenerates. He makes new creatures. That's why when we see somebody born again, you will see a change. They can't help it, Brother Jesse. You cannot help but come in to a fellowship, relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and leave the same way you came. Folks, He walked by the dead and touched them and they raised. That lady that had the issue of blood, all she did was come into contact with the hem of His garment. And she was made whole. All it took was just a little bit of faith, a little bit of trust in the Savior. And it's all Him. Don't ever think that you prayed right, that you did it right, that you had your feelings right, that you cried enough. You'll never do enough. It's only by grace, through faith. But what we see is that when somebody reaches out with just a little bit of faith, folks, sometimes that's all we've got. Reach out to Him with the faith that He's getting. By the way, faith is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2 teaches us that. It comes through the hearing of the Word of God. He gives it to us to believe. It's not ours to mess up. It's His. I mean, that's the truth of it. We got to be real careful with how we word things at times. We'll confuse sinners. If we're not careful, we'll get the message of salvation marred in their eyes. And Brother Jamie, what they do is they come down to an altar and they weep and they weep and they weep and they pray and they pray and pray. And they're looking for something that God is not looking to give. They're looking for a feeling or an experience. Now God gives peace, but it comes solely by the justification which is by faith. And when you exercise faith, that's the moment that you say yes to His calling, to His bidding, whether that be in a church pew, my daughter in her bedroom, no matter what it is. I can't say that enough, folks. There's nothing about this bench that saves anybody. Amen. It's a wonderful place to pray, and if you need help and want somebody to pray with you, this is a perfect place to come. But if you need regenerated, when God reveals that to you, you know you're lost and in need of a Savior and need to be regenerated, renewed, made new in Christ, call out to Him. He said whoever calls on Him, His name, will be saved. Folks, He's the only one who can regenerate. But what I find, not only for the sinner, because really Psalm 23 is for the saints, but I don't want to leave the sinners out this morning, but for the saint of God, He don't have to regenerate us. We're already regenerated. But we do need some restoration at times. And there's times we get down, and I look at the life of the Apostle Peter. Brother Delmer, there was a time in his life, I believe he thought, I'm done. He gave up, said, I go fishing. I've done messed it up. But then who came to him? The Lord Jesus. He was interested in Peter's well-being. He was interested in him doing right. He told him, when thou art converted, he didn't need saving. That's not what he was saying. Brother Joe, he needed to be converted from, from his lowness, his direction that he had went the wrong way. He just needed to be converted and go the right way. Every time you read in Scripture, the word saved does not mean it's talking about being born again. I hope everybody understands that. There's plenty of times that David cried out for salvation, for deliverance. Folks, but according to Psalm 51, even in the lowest of his low, when he had sinned with Bathsheba, he cried out to God over there in, let me tell you the verse so I don't get it wrong. Psalm 51, verse 12, he says, restore unto me the joy of what? Thy salvation. It was not his to lose. Salvation is of the Lord. The Bible still teaches that. And so the saint of God doesn't have to go get birthed again. He doesn't have to go get regenerated. He ain't going to bring back something that I never lost. I can never lose the new birth. I never read where anybody gets born in this life and goes back and has to get reborn. It don't work like that. But there are times, like David, like Peter, like John Mark, that went astray. He left the work of God for a time. But then there was another time when Paul looked over at John Mark and said, "Boy, send him my way. He's profitable." Why was he profitable then, when there was so much dissension, so much problem before? Because God had restored him. God makes all the difference. It's the work of the Lord. He's the only one that can restore. So today, for you sinners, are you here and lifeless, never been birthed into his family? You can be. You can be regenerated. And I'm thankful for that. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. But what about you, saints? What about us? That maybe we've been on this way a while and we get tired and the weight of the world comes down on us. We look around like Job at everything on both in every direction and we don't see the Lord. What happens to our soul? Folks, our soul can be affected. You remember Lot's soul was vexed, the Bible says. It says it vexed his righteous soul being down there at Sodom. The same thing can happen to you and I. We can get in bad places. That's why you still hear of Christian pastors that commit suicide. Good people. Why? Because their soul gets so grieved to a point they feel like they can't go on any farther. And we need to be watching our brothers and sisters. That's why we're here to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's why it's important for us as a church to reach out to our pastor. He needs us as much as we need him. We need to love on him. Folks, you can reach out to me and encourage me anytime you want to. I'd love it. I'd love to see a text message of encouragement come through. Or a call. Challenge you. This past week, have you called anybody? Have you sent a message of encouragement, maybe with a scripture, to somebody you knew needed some help? Or do you just sit back and assume that you sit back and assume, well, Brother Kevin will help them. Brother Delmer can fix them. Folks, they got enough to do. What about us? We need to be willing to help. I can do nothing, as I said, in myself. But with the help of the Holy Ghost, folks, we can do all kinds of things. If we will get between what God, right in front, what God wants to do. Kevin says that all the time. You find what God's will is, what he's trying to do, and you find a way for you to get yourself in there and just be willing to be used by him. That's all it takes. Just do what you know to do. That's all we're required to do. If you don't know you're supposed to be doing something, you probably don't need to be doing that. But if you know to do it, why aren't we doing it? Folks, encourage people. You ladies, reach out to Miss Allison. Let her know she means something to us. We appreciate the sacrifice she makes when Brother Kevin's over here in a totally different county 2 or 3 nights a week dealing with people and issues. And she's left at home with the kids. Appreciate his mom and dad. Guess what? They watch them kids whenever you want counseling and he needs to bring Miss Allison into it. Guess who gets the kids? Right over there. Folks, we help each other in ways we don't even think about. And we all need some restoration at times. We can't continually pour out. But the bad thing is, there's some of us, I'm afraid, ain't poured out a whole lot. And if you're one of them, you can get that fixed. You need to be pouring into people. God will use you to help restore somebody. He'll do it. But he'd be glad to do it through you. He didn't need Jonah to go preach down in Nineveh, but he chose Jonah. He could have put that in the heart of somebody different. He don't need none of us. We need him. So do you feel lifeless? Just come to the life source, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe part of the reason we don't feel like we have much life left is we're not spending enough time with the life. We're all guilty of that. Probably not enough time in prayer, not enough time given to reading. We're not studying to show ourselves approved unto God. It's quiet. That's okay. Folks, he wants to restore the saints. But David recognized he was in need of restoration. That's why he could look up at God and say, he's the one that did it. He knew he needed help. Sometimes we don't know how to get restoration. We don't even know where to start. Just call out to God. He'll give you the answer. I'm thankful for it. So we see his preservation of the saints. He wants to continue the work that he started. Paul said he was persuaded that he would continue it. He's going to do his work. But we need to be willing to let him do it. So we see his preservation. But number two, I want you to see the paths. He said, let me flip back over there. He restoreth my soul. And then he says in Psalm 23, verse 3, he said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. So, first off, we got to notice who's the leader. As always, he's the one that does the leading, which means that we are to do the following. Right? We said that over and over. We just continually get that mixed up. But he's the one who leads. And I thought about the word path. The path, when you look that up, it says it's a way that's beaten or trodden by the feet of man or beast or made hard by wheels. The part of a highway on which animals or carriages ordinarily pass. It's applied to the ground only and never to a paved street in a city. And so it is any narrow way beaten by the foot. So as we think about he leads us, he leads me in the paths, that's plural, of righteousness. So if I understand what he's saying, is first off, he's leading me to a place that somebody else has already gone. If it's a path, that means somebody's already been there. In other words, I'm not going to be on my own. And what's best about it is the one that I'm following is in the path in front of me. He's the one that leads me in the paths. So what he's given us is a good, clear direction to go. And he's leading the way. But you notice they're not just paths in general. They're not just some random paths that he leads us down. But then Brother Jerry says they're paths of righteousness. Now hopefully everybody understands what righteousness is. We have none of ourselves. The only righteousness we have is of him. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's the scripture's clear about that. But when you look up the word righteous, that word means purity of heart and rectitude of life, conformity of the heart and life to the divine law. It includes all we can call just, honesty, virtue, being with holy affections. In short, it says, it is true religion. True religion. The Bible talks about true religion, by the way. We're not in a religion, but we can perform true religion. So, the good thing about all this is that I'm not going down a place that nobody's ever been. I've got a leader in front of me that knows the way. He's taken me somewhere that he wants me to go. And all my responsibility is to follow the leader. How many of you remember as a kid being able to follow the leader? That's pretty simple. Now, in our life, see, because we walk by faith and not by sight, it's hard to always follow the leader when you can't see him. And so there are times we just walk by faith. We just have to follow the path that he's laid out for us. And so he's taken me to places he's already been. He controls the paths. And I thought about in my life, I don't know about everybody else's life, but there are times in my life that I thought I was going down the path that he had me on. And when I looked down the path, I saw an end that I liked. You understand what I'm saying? But as we walk down the path, you remember the path is plural, paths. What happens is this path, I see something and I have a good idea of where it was going to lead. And I liked it. I thought, man, this is a good path, Lord. I'm going to stay right here. This is what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden, God, in his sovereignty, that's what we're talking about, puts a roadblock, a problem, in my eyes, a hindrance in the path. And he says, well, you can't go this far, but there's a path. There's another path that goes this way. You say, well, Lord, I don't know where that path's going. Why is the job that I've got dissolving? Lord, I thought this is where I'd be till I'm done. Right? Why? Things were going good, Lord. I could see you on this path. Man, I could see, is it straight when I could see all the way to the end? Looked real good. Why'd we come this far down this path? And yet, now there's another path. I like that one. Why are you putting me on a different one? And man, those paths can be all kinds of different things. But understand in the life of a believer that every path is to be a path of righteousness. And he's got a purpose. I'm ahead of myself. He's got a purpose to conform us to what he wants us to be, not what I want me to be. And so there's multiple paths. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know where any of them is going to take me. And my goal is to just follow him. That's what we all ought to be doing. And so watch for the doors that he opens and pray for good discernment so that when you can't see him, when you can't see him, that you make sure that the paths that you're taking are the paths that he's laid out for you. And I'm not going to stand here and say that it's always easy, but Psalm 25:4-5 says, Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Sometimes the decision needs to just be waited on. Maybe you've come to a crossroad where the path lies, and you can't always see the leader. So sometimes, if you don't know, and you don't have clarity, you better stay where you're at until God gives you the green light. We get real hasty sometimes, and we think, man, that job right there looks real good. And there's a door open. There's a path that I can take right there. That path might not be a path of righteousness. If he's not leading, chances are it's going to be a path of destruction. And so I better wait on the Lord. Sometimes it may come in the form of a pay cut. I've been there. And I've watched how the Lord's worked in that in a mighty way. Because you just try to find what God wants you to do. His paths. Psalm 25:10, just a few verses down from what we just read, says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So I believe we've got a promise that if we are doing our best to follow the leader, we are doing our best to stay right here in this book, trying to follow his will. Sometimes that means just wait. And when that happens, just wait. And he'll give us some clarity. He'll give us the discernment that we need. His paths are mercy and truth. But understand, if you try to get ahead of the Lord, ahead of the leader, make decisions apart from him, oh my, the Bible still does say there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Says it twice. Then thereof the ways of death. Folks, don't take your way. Make sure you're taking his way. So, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, everybody knows, hopefully. Trust in the Lord, right? With all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Just trust the Lord. Follow the leader. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a, what? Lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Seems like it all just meshes together. To walk in the right paths, we got to stay close to him. Stay close to him. Got to stay close to this book. It all works together. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be on the paths that he wants me to be on. He's got me there for a purpose. I just want to stay in it. Not always a comfortable way. You notice it talked about when I read the definition of path, it's a hard way sometimes. It's beaten. Sometimes it's not as comfortable. It's not a paved road. It said never applies to a paved road. Not always easy. So, what path are you on? Is it his path? Is it a path that's leading you to be more like Christ? To demonstrate his righteousness daily? Is he leading you? Or are you taking a path that you've chosen? See, he will allow you some freedom. We've all got our own will, don't we? Don't look at me and tell me you've never rebelled against God. We all do. Does it ever end well? Not until we turn around, look to him. Thankfully, by his grace, he don't just get rid of all of us. But he's got a desired end for every one of us, and every one of us are going to be like him one day. We're going to see him as he is. Where are we at on time, honey? Well, that's time. So I appreciate everybody's good attention this morning. Be much in prayer for Brother Jamie. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray through the hallways.